here till 5:30. Then we go to TD Garden in Boston. You got the Bucks and the Celtics at 5:30, and we got full shows tomorrow and Friday, and we'll be live at the Route 66 Casino Hotel right there at the stadium area, watching the games on the tube and talking to some folks over at the Sportsbook. We're going to have a good time. Come on out and join us. That's tomorrow and Friday out there at Route 66 Casino Hotel. If you miss any of the segments here on Team Talk, including the upcoming Top 5 at 5, go to 1017theteam.com. 1017theteam.com. We've got all the top fives and these other segments archived for you. So speaking of which, Sam, go ahead and take it away, my friend.
It's time for the Hinkle Law Office's Top 5. Hinkle Law Office is representing motorcycle riders across New Mexico since 1990. Visit HinkleLawOffices.com. Take it away, Sam Houser.
All right, so yeah, like you said, Joe, number five, it's always who's in, who's out in the world of sports, as we start with who is in the first Major League Baseball game in South Korea. Went off at 4 a.m. Mountain Time this morning so they could play it at a normal time out there in South Korea. Dodgers with the 5-2 win over the San Diego Padres. Dodgers using a 4-run top of the eighth to erase a deficit to get the win. And now 1-0 in the regular season, because yes, they are going to come back to Arizona. They're going to play spring training games with the Angels this weekend, but these are regular season games out there in South Korea. The Dodgers now 1-0. Newly acquired Dodger Tyler Glasnow getting the ball in this season opener. 5 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts. As for the plate, the Dodgers three-headed monster at the top of the lineup. You got Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman 1 through 3 in your batting order. Those guys combined for 4 hits, 3 walks, and a couple RBI. And Shohei Ohtani, that means he was a part of that with his first hit as a Dodger.
Here it comes. Ohtani lines the base hit to right field. His first hit as a Dodger.
That coming in the third inning. Shohei also swiping a bag today.
Yeah, and in forgive us for that audio, because the game was in Korea, right, Sam?
That is correct.
That is correct. And they'll do it again. And a high-profile, much-anticipated guy on the mound for the Dodgers at 4 a.m. tomorrow, Sam.
Yeah, Yoshinobu Yamamoto going to get the ball for the Dodgers tomorrow. Won the gold medal with Team Japan at the World Baseball Classic about a year ago or so now. It was right around this time that you and I were in L.A. last year watching Mike Trout versus Shohei Ohtani on the mound, Team USA and Team Japan, in that gold medal game. And Yamamoto pitched an inning in that one, and now he's teammates with Shohei Ohtani in L.A. And yes, Yamamoto going to get the ball tomorrow at 4 a.m.
All right, what else is in there, Sammy?
All right, well, speaking of sports on the international stage, on the world stage, we're just a few months away from the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. And NBC making the announcement that they're going to have a Red Zone-style show that they are aptly going to call Gold Zone as part of the Olympic coverage on NBC. So, you know, NFL Red Zone by now, Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano, they bring you all the highlights, every big play. Don't know exactly how this is going to go, but for people who aren't all that familiar with a lot of Olympic sports, it's a great way to kind of break it down in bite-sized clips.
I love it. And no better guys to do it than Hansen and Siciliano, because they do such a great job on the NFL Red Zone shows there, Sam. I think it's a brilliant idea, and they made no bones about that they stole the idea using the zone, the gold zone. What do you think?
I mean, no, it's fantastic.
It's one of the best marketing moves the Olympics have made in a couple of years there, Sam.
No, this is a genius idea for, again, you're going to see, you know, track and field and some of these event, you know, the shot put and some of these track and field events and some of the other ones that you don't watch on the regular. So you're going to have people who can explain it. And also, the reason that the XFL and the USFL and these leagues popped up in the spring was because we're so desperate for football. Well, for everybody that is missing out on their Scott Hansen fix. You're going to get it during the Olympics.
Look forward to it. Well, who's out, Sam? What is out?
All right, well, as we heard, well, we saw this last night on our social media, and we talked about it a little bit more earlier in our conversation with Lobo women's basketball coach Mike Bradbury, but Anaya Augman, All-Mountain West guard Anaya Augman, announcing on her social last night that she will forgo her last year of college basketball eligibility, put out this really well-thought-out statement on her social last night. Part of it reads, quote, "On this journey, my body has endured a lot, and I have made a lot of sacrifices. This has impacted me in many ways. I have always given 110% to my team, my coaches, and this sport. I always did what was in others' best interest, all for the love of the game. Now it is my time to do what is in the best interest of myself," end quote. Anaya Augman also noting that she's going to graduate as a junior this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. She's put herself in a position where she can step away and still already has that degree. But the thing that I remember from the conversation with Coach Bradbury last hour was how there were games where he didn't think she should really be able to go, and she insisted on playing, Sam.
I mean, she was everything that you want in a college basketball player. Going back even a couple of years now, I mean, you know, certainly on the men's side this year for Lobo basketball, we've had JT Toppin and the incredible things that he's done as a freshman. But Anaya Augman, you go and watch even some of the early non-conference games as a freshman, and you see this player who's just an absolute firecracker and running everywhere, up and down the floor, getting involved in every play, diving for loose balls, sprinting everywhere. You knew that she was going to be an incredible basketball player, and then just only got more refined as her career went along.
It'd be a big loss. It would have been great to have her back next season. All right, who else is out, Sam?
All right, to Mountain West men's basketball, San Jose State losing a couple players last night to the portal, with the Twitter account Verbal Commits putting them out just a few seconds apart. Don't know if this happened at the same time, but that is a good account to follow here through the offseason. Verbal Commits, one of a few of them that keeps track of all these guys going in the portal, but one of, if not the longest remaining tenured San Jose State Spartan guard, Alvaro Cardenas, and then big man Tibet Gorner, both of them going in the portal. Both of them responsible for about 35% of San Jose State's points this year. Two big starters that Coach Tim Miles will now have to replace.
Yeah, I mean, and Coach Tim Miles, after a pretty good year last year, they came back to earth this year hard.
Yeah.
And they got a long way to go for him to rebuild that program to the status of, we saw, you know, him coaching teams at CSU and even Nebraska for that degree there, Sam. What's number four?
Just as a follow-up, because we've been talking about this and we got the full list last night during one of the NIT broadcasts last night on ESPN. They put up a full graphic on the screen with all the teams that decline NIT invitations. 17 in total declining invitations to the NIT, including the bottom 16s in the Pac-12 standings, who finished a combined 28 games under 500 in league play. They said thanks, no thanks, to the NIT. A Maryland team that finished third from the bottom in the Big Ten. The Bonnies not wanting to go to the NIT this year, along the likes of the teams we already knew about in St. John's, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Memphis, and others. But it ends up being 17 in total.
Man, these postseason tournaments started to grow for a while there, Sam. I mean, it was the NCAA, then the NIT, and we even saw like one or two others. You got to figure it's going to go in the opposite direction here with, like you said, the transfer portal opening up on Monday, the day after Selection Sunday.
You're asking for trouble.
You are asking for trouble, and teams not having enough players. You know, I talked about this, Tom Crean talked about how he was disappointed in coaches that bailed on playing in these games. Okay, the dilemma some coaches are going to be dealing with. And Anthony Hardaway was talking about his mom's illness. But the dilemma some of these coaches are going to be dealing with are the players themselves that are not motivated to continue on playing these games. We're seeing it in bowl games, in college football, and obviously it's affecting these NCAA or these postseason tournaments as well. What's number four, Sammy?
Well, speaking of postseason basketball, looking back on last night here, just quickly before we get to the NCAA tournament action, because that's at the forefront that everybody really pays the most attention to, but just got to throw this out there. They didn't have a very good season, but still a power program. North Texas on the way to defending its NIT championship, the Mean Green, with an 84-77 win over LSU last night.
And do you? But who was on top? Who was on? Was that game in Baton Rouge?
That NIT game last night was in Baton Rouge. So North Texas on the road, now on the way to defending its NIT championship.
Yeah, and they bounce it back and forth. You know, you see these teams, and sometimes, well, like the Lobos last year played Utah Valley State, in the first round, right, and got beat at home. And we saw that, obviously, with LSU. A couple of other teams of note. I know Utah was able to get by. I think UC Irvine.
Yeah, the Anteaters.
UNLV has still not played yet. So when and where? They're playing against Princeton. We know that. Yep. And I'm assuming that game is in New Jersey.
That is correct. That game is in Princeton. That one will actually tip off here at the top of the hour.
All right.
6 o'clock on ESPN plus UNLV at Princeton. After all that success for the Rebels, they end up going 1-and-done in the Mountain West tournament. They are in the NIT.
And Princeton's a number one seed in the NIT after losing to Yale in their conference championship game, a number one seed.
Dangerous game, those Ivy League teams.
Oh.
All right, to the NCAA tournament last night, Wagner getting its first ever NCAA tournament win. Tell them that this thing doesn't start until Thursday. Wagner with the win over Howard. They move on again. First win in history. They'll move on and play North Carolina coming up next. Colorado State with the 67-42 win over Virginia. And really, as much as Colorado State wants to celebrate, as it should, by the way, the Rams, their first NCAA tournament win since 2013, and they're certainly going to celebrate that. But all anybody wants to talk about is how pitiful last night this was from the Virginia Cavaliers. 14 points in the first half, and they didn't score a single point for the last 9 minutes and change of that first half. Fewest first half points in an NCAA tournament game since a number 15 seed Abilene Christian against a 2-seeded Kentucky in 2019.
Interesting. Now, you're good at this. Wagner, we found out yesterday they were located in Rochester, New York, all right? The mascot for Wagner, you want to take a shot at him?
It's the Seahawks.
You got it. See, I know how. You know all this stuff, Sam.
Only because I learned more than I ever wanted to about Wagner yesterday in Top 5. That's why, you know, sometimes you learn things in Top 5.
I was going
to
say, the Wagner Whales, true or false, Sammy? You would have said false. It's the Sea Chickens.
That's a minor league hockey team.
No way.
No, but it should be.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what's number 3, Sammy?
Three. By the way, tonight, just after 7 o'clock, Boise State and Colorado on True TV as well, so the next Mountain West team. Boise State 0-9 in NCAA tournament history, the most games without a win in tournament history, trying to snap that tonight.
Right, 0-9. Leon is 0-4 himself.
Yes.
So Boise State over the years, 0-9. Leon Rice, 0-4. He's trying to get that first W, like you said there, Sammy.
Somebody else who's trying to get a tournament victory coming up in the first round, Dan Monson. So if you're not familiar with this story, if you haven't heard it over the last week and change or so, Dan Monson is the coach at Long Beach State who had a pretty solid, you know, second half of the season, won a few big games. They get into the West Coast Conference Tournament. Going into the conference tournament, it was announced that Dan Monson was not going to be retained. He was not going to come back next season, but they were going to let him finish out this year. So what happens after that? Long Beach State goes and wins the entire West Coast Conference tournament. So they're in the big dance. They're a 15 seed playing number 2 Arizona tomorrow. So it's It would, today was media availability time for, you know, all these coaches speak to the media before they go play their games, and it was media availability time for Dan Monson, who, again, this is somebody who, as soon as the season ends, he no longer has a job there, but he has taken this thing in stride.
I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for
free today. So, it's like a, you guys see the Seinfeld, when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't get lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. Is it an opening statement? Was that it? What do we got going?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Coach.
That was the moderator there. You nailed it, Coach. What else are you going to say after that? I don't have to answer anything that I don't want to because I'm working for free. Among us who have been in positions where, you know, things are coming to a salty end at work, that's the poster for how to handle things there at your job.
Yeah, and when he was released, they said he was going to let him, coach the end of the year out. They asked him, well, what happens if he happens to take him to the NCAA tournament? And they're like, no, we're making the change anyway. So they said that on the front end, thinking there was no way they were going to go to the NCAA tournament. So this isn't the first time we've talked about Dan Monson here on the show, because, like, we were talking about Mark Few and the guys that had coached for Few, the guy at Arizona.
Tommy Lloyd, Leon Rice
at Boise State. And I gave you a little bit of history on Mark Few replacing a guy named Dan Monson at Gonzaga, who was the coach when Gonzaga, jumped onto the map. This is years after John Stockton had played there. And Monson had done enough at Gonzaga to get a Big Ten job. He ended up going to Minnesota. He replaced Clem Haskins after the program had all kinds of NCAA violations. It didn't go so well for him at Minnesota, like most coaches that coach men's basketball at Minnesota. He goes to Long Beach State, and he's been there forever. Pretty average win-loss record over the years, but it won't hurt his resume that this season is ending the way it is. Even if they happen to lose to Arizona, it'll give him a little bit, he'll be on the radar more, so to speak.
So looking at these timelines here, it looks like, and it's interesting because, the way that this all played out, he went on to go coach at Minnesota. He and Dan Dickow just missed each other, but it looks like there is a potential chance that Dan Monson was the one that got Dickow to go from Washington to Gonzaga.
Very easily, because Monson was at Washington at some point in this whole mix, too. I forgot. He coached the Huskies, too. Do you see anything about...
He did not, but he was at Gonzaga until 1999, which was the following year Dan Dickow showed up at Gonzaga.
There you go. All right, he was probably instrumental in that, and that was a big deal for the Zags. All right, what is number two, Sammy?
Number two. All right, with the NFL moving a step closer to banning the hip drop tackle, because one of the holdups here over the last few weeks as we've gone through some of these owners' meetings, some speculation, some chats at the Combine, one of the holdups was trying to put together the wording on this so referees actually know what they're looking for and how they can enforce it. Well, the competition committee for the NFL putting in the official wording on how referees would enforce this hip drop tackle rule. Going forward, the committee also determining that a flag, a 15-yard penalty, and an automatic first down would come with the ruling on the hip drop tackle if it is flagged during a game.
Yeah, and the horse collar rule was put in, and that was pretty cut and dry, whether a guy horse collared or not. This whole hip drop thing is a little bit more difficult to judge, because it's going to be a judgment call from these officials.
It is.
But something had to be done, and people, like, when they hear the hip drop, they wonder, is that on the guy that's being tackled? No, it's the guy tackling the guy with the ball that is dropping hip. And normally on the back of players' legs. I mean, Dak Prescott, when he went down a couple years ago in that game against the Giants, that was a hip drop. Tony Pollard a few years ago. The back for the Browns, who was off to a really good start this year, missed the entire season.
Oh, Nick Chubb?
Nick Chubb, I believe, was hurt on that type of play as well. So anyway, it is a situation, and I think the NFL is figuring it out as best they could on how to deal with it, because they need to do something, Sam.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens out of this. It has to be approved by a two-thirds majority vote among the owners, so it'd be at least 24 of the owners would have to vote on this. Expected to be put on the table at next week's owners' meetings down in Orlando.
All right, what is numero uno, Sammy?
Well, just like we're seeing in college football, where everybody's trying to clear out the non-power teams, you got this college football playoff format in this new 12-team expansion that includes seven at-large bids instead of one less. You know, the hope was maybe get one more opportunity for a non-power conference. Instead, it's going to be seven at-large bids in the college football playoff, so the third and fourth place teams in the SEC can get in. Well, Tom Izzo seeming to be at the forefront of trying to push for something similar in college basketball. Tom Izzo quoted as saying, "What's happening now, everybody likes the upsets on the first weekend, but I'm not sure moving on that that's what's best for the game. I think it's got to be looked at seriously," end quote.
Yeah, and like, people love the upsets, but when you're getting ready for the next round and a smaller team that had provided an upset is playing like a power team that's favored in that next round by 15 or 20 points, the glamour of a matchup is not like it would be if it was two power teams, but in essence, that's what the tournament is all
about.
It really is what the tournament is all about. And
don't lose.
Yeah, if we didn't, so Izzo, who he himself played like small town Division II basketball for Northern Michigan, he's saying that, like, he hates to see these non-Power 5 teams taking the place of Power 5s. And another thing he said, which is hard to argue, and this is coaches taking care of each other because, you know, they have that fraternity going, but, you know, he was talking about how they need to have former coaches as part of this committee as well. You know, put Boeheim in there, put Krzyzewski in there. They know what the trials and tribulations of a season can be, and they have a better way of judging who these best teams are. I guess it'd be hard to argue having those kind of guys on this committee, at least to some degree, Sam. Are you ready to just get, you know, a keep the coaches out of it, is what you're saying?
Not even necessarily, but if it's going to be that, you know, in the case of, and we played this sound earlier today, one of the people on the selection committee is the commissioner for the Big Sky Conference. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be an advocate for the quote-unquote little guys, but if you're saying get rid of these, you know, this little, you know, small-time commissioner and put in Coach K in there so he can advocate for the powers of the world, that's where I would draw the line on that one. Don't lose to St. Peter's. Don't lose to Fairleigh Dickinson. It's really not that complicated. You're not being coy and shy about this. Tom Izzo, first off, if Tom Izzo was coaching, if Michigan State this year was a non-power school, they would be looked at as irrelevant and not even be thought of. Michigan State had an average season at best. They lost to James Madison early on. He's probably still heard about that. Like, be glad that you're Michigan State and you get to get in because you're Michigan State anyway.
All right, nice job on the top five there, Sammy.
That's tonight's Hinkle Law Office's top five. Hinkle Law Office is representing motorcycle riders across New Mexico since 1990. Visit HinkleLawOffices.com.
Or just make your own tournament, too.
You could do that. Hey, we may not be far away from that, Sam.
No, I think that's what he's trying to really get to.
All right. Well, tomorrow we are going to be at Stadium 66 at Route 66 Casino Hotel. Tomorrow and Friday, we'll be watching all the games, and we'll have Team Talk live from Stadium 66 out there at Route 66 Casino Hotel.
Come out and watch the Lobos on Friday.
Come on out, watch the games tomorrow, and then come out and watch them on Friday. One way or the other, we'll be talking about it. As we do every day here on Team Talk. All right, that'll do it for today's show. When we come back, we're going to Boston, Bucks, and Celtics next. For Sam Hauser, I'm Joe O'Neill, ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Thanks for listening to Team Talk on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team. 101.7, The Team is your home for New Mexico United, the Dallas Cowboys, LA Dodgers, and much more. ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team, your New Mexico-owned and operated station.